The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And this is what it says. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, You have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. The title of the message this morning is, Your Faith Has Saved You. Go in Peace. It comes from the last verse of the passage that we read for our scripture text this morning. These are the words of Jesus. What I want to do in the sermon this morning is to analyze these words of Jesus and the passage that they come from and to draw some applications from them for us. Right in the middle of that phrase is the word saved. Saved is the verb form of the word salvation. These words contain a message about salvation. What it is, why it is needed, how it is obtained, who is it for, and what is the result of it. First of all, let's understand the need for salvation. Salvation is needed because of sin. The word saved in verse 50 means to rescue from danger or destruction. It could be any danger or destruction, but in the technical biblical sense, it means deliverance from the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is the consequence of sin. Sin is the great problem. Genesis 18:20 says, Then the Lord said, Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins. In Leviticus chapter 16, God appointed a day for the atonement of Israel's sins. He said, For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all of your sins. After Israel had made for themselves a golden calf to worship in the wilderness, Moses said in Deuteronomy 9:18-19, Then I lay prostrate before the Lord as before 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all the sin that you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure that the Lord bore against you, so that he was ready to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, God said to Israel, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." You see, sin is the problem. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what hides his face from us. Sin is what incurs the wrath of God. And what is sin? Sin is any violation of the holy law of God. We need to think of sin the way the Bible describes it, as wickedness, which is depravity and malice. The Bible describes sin as transgression, a willful revolt, a breaking away from authority, a treachery, a crossing of a boundary, a known boundary. The Bible describes sin as iniquity, an evil craving, a violating, a crookedness. Sin is transgression of God's law, and transgression of God's law provokes His wrath. Now, the one thing that this woman in the story needed to be saved from, and every one of us needs to be saved from, is the consequence of sin. Notice what the text says about this woman. In verse 37, she is called a woman of the city who was a sinner. Then the Pharisee who had invited Jesus to his house said to himself in verse 39, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." This is a woman who has lived a sinful lifestyle, and it is well known in this city. She has sinned much. We see it three times in the passage. We're told that she is a sinner. Simon, thinking to himself, says that she was a sinner. And then Jesus himself in verse 47 acknowledges that her sins are many. It's quite obvious that this woman was a sinner. We don't really know anything else about her. We don't know her name. We don't have recorded here anything that she said in this encounter. We don't really know what it is that she has done to gain her such notoriety as an obvious sinner. It's been thought that she was a prostitute, although the commentators go back and forth and are not quite sure about this theory. And the text does not say that she was a prostitute. But whatever it was, her past lifestyle and experiences had left her burdened, deeply weighed down by the guilt of her sin. She was battered and broken, obviously helpless and needy, in need of mercy and grace. So what do you do about your sins if you want to get forgiven? You go to the source of salvation for sinners. That's point number two. Jesus is the source of salvation for sinners. Let me remind you what Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23 says about the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the angel of the Lord said, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's that word save again. And there is that word sins again. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Now this woman in our story knew this. Somehow she has become acquainted with Jesus. That is why she showed up at this party. Since Jesus began his public ministry, he has been teaching in the synagogues in the regions of Galilee and Judea. And the reports about him spread throughout Galilee, Judea, and the surrounding areas. He has healed many people. He has forgiven sins. Remember in chapter 5 where a paralytic was brought to him and Jesus forgave his sins. Then the people complained, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus healed the paralyzed man in order to prove that he had authority on earth to forgive sins. He agreed with them that only God can forgive sins. But he forgave sins and then he proved that he was God by making the paralyzed man walk. Earlier in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is reported to have been in the town of Nain. He raised a widow's son from the dead there, and the news about him spread. It may have been at that town that John the Baptist's disciples came to him, and the crowds heard what he said concerning John. It may have been in that town where the events of this passage took place. At any rate, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to his house. And Jesus has accepted his invitation and is attending this party at the Pharisee's house and is eating at the table, reclining at the table. What does it mean he reclined at the table? Well, he was probably sitting on a bench beside the table with his feet behind him. This was apparently a community party where anyone was allowed to come without a special invitation. So this sinful woman comes to the party knowing that she is going to be scorned and looked down upon by all the other guests with contempt. But why did she come? She came because she knew that Jesus was the Savior of sinners and He was there. And she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. How could Jesus say, your sins are forgiven? He could do it on the basis of the fact that he himself was going to pay for her sins. You don't just cancel a debt and it disappears. That debt has to be paid. Somebody suffers the loss for that debt. Somebody has to pay the debt. Jesus wasn't saying, "I accept this woman unconditionally. I write her sins off into thin air." That's not the gospel. He knew that He was going to lay down His life for this woman. He would bear in His own body upon the cross the unmitigated wrath of God in heaven for this woman. For this woman to be forgiven, there were conditions written into the eternal covenant conceived in the council halls of eternity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that a mediator would pay for the sins of God's elect, and Jesus was that mediator. Jesus is the source of salvation for sinners. And He said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There you are. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know what that says? It says that faith is the instrument through which Jesus saves sinners. That is point number three. Faith is the instrument through which Jesus saves sinners. Faith in Jesus is the means by which salvation becomes effectual for me, for any individual. Let me ask you a question. Where is faith in this story? Is there a place where this woman comes to Jesus and confesses, "I am a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure and without hope, save in His sovereign mercy? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners and receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation." There's not a place in the story where she does that. The only place in the passage where faith is mentioned is in verse 50. But that is Jesus' commentary about what happened in the passage. Then where is her faith? Faith is obviously something that you cannot see. But you can see the evidence of faith. Faith exists in the mind and in the heart. But when it is there, you can see the evidence of it because it always produces actions. Her faith was demonstrated in the act of coming to Jesus and pouring the alabaster flask of ointment on His feet and mixing it with her tears and wiping His feet with her hair and kissing His feet. This alabaster flask of ointment was probably the most valuable possession that she had. And what did she do with it? She poured it all out on Jesus, on His feet. It was an extravagant display of love for Jesus, and it was evidence of her faith in Him. Saving faith always is evidenced by actions. The best evidence of saving faith is a transformed life. There's another character in the story that we haven't said much about. Simon the Pharisee. Simon didn't think he was a sinner in need of forgiveness. And Jesus told this parable to expose the self-righteousness in Simon. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Jesus did not tell that parable to say that Simon didn't need to be forgiven as much as that woman did. The point of the parable is this. If you don't have much love for Jesus, then maybe you haven't realized the magnitude of your sin. And if you haven't realized the magnitude of your sin, then you will not come to Jesus for salvation, because you will probably deceive yourself into thinking that you don't need forgiveness. The difference between the Pharisee named Simon and this unnamed woman is that he thinks he's better than she, that he's more righteous than she. He believes that she's the sinner in the room. She believes that she's the worst sinner there. Simon believes he's righteous. He doesn't see the truth that sin has ruined him too. This woman loves Jesus more than she can express with words, because He saved her from the consequences of sin. Jesus had already worked in her heart. Her faith and her love were evidence of that. We've got to recognize what sin has done to us and how deep is our need of a Savior. We have to come to grips with what sin has done to us, because it has ruined us. It's broken us. It's twisted us. It's blinded us. It's killed us. It's darkened our minds. It's made our hearts deceitful and wicked. What does the Bible say about us as sinners? Isaiah 64 says, even our righteousness, even the things we've done right and we want to boast about, even our righteousness is filthy, like filthy rags. It's polluted. Our good things, our obedience is polluted. David, in his great Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, is saying that sin's pervasive ruling begins at our conception in sin, he says. Did my mother conceive me? He's not saying that his birth was an unrighteous act. He is saying that he was born a sinner. Sin saturates every nook and cranny of our personality and character. Nothing has escaped the stain and the pollution of sin. When we begin to see what Jesus forgave us of, we love Him. When we begin to gain a sense of how deep is the canyon that sin has dug in our souls, and we know His forgiveness, we love Him. When we begin to survey the wreckage that sin has made in our character and we know His forgiveness, we love Him. What about you this morning? Are you one of those who sees other people as sinners, but you have never come to grips with your own sinfulness? That's where Simon was. And he didn't get to hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. If you do want to hear Jesus say that, then come to Him with your sin and believe on Him with a faith that manifests itself in extravagant love for Him. Let's pray.